Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
This is a show that we do about things that are good and that we love.
Yes.
You can't tell us any different. You can't come in here and demand these changes. Like, the advertisers want more, lewd talk.
I thought you were suggesting that people would come in and say, you don't like hot dogs.
Oh, no. I'm saying, like, the advertisers.
They want us to get raunchy?
Yeah, like, raunchier. They're like, you're married? Prove it by talking lewd, dirty stuff. And we're like, we don't? This is a family show.
Oh, we were raised to be shame-driven, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm not going to talk about my body.
No way. We're sex positive, but...
But terrified of our own parts.
So scared. so scared. Yeah. When I take a shower, I have to have all the lights off. Thank you very much. Weird way to start the episode.
I think it was your choice, though.
I think it was my choice, yeah. Well, the advertisers sort of forced our hand.
True.
But DoorDash just wants it sexy. I don't get it. Do you have any small wonders?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say the boy performer that came to our house.
Let's talk about the boy performer.
Henry just turned 5, and we knew this was maybe going to be the first birthday party he actually remembered. And he started expressing interest in what the party would contain, and I wanted this one to be big. Mm. You know, in the past, like, for example, the theme of his first birthday was balls, just because Henry liked to play with balls.
Yeah.
The second one was hats, because Henry liked hats. It
sure.
meant that I didn't have to put any effort into the upfront, but this
right.
one felt like important. So I reached out to an organization.
Yeah, the Avengers.
That had connections with both princesses and superheroes. And I said, I would like a superhero. And the person on the phone said, which superhero would you like? And I indicated the one that I wanted. And they said, let me check with our boy performers and get back to you.
Such a fun phrase. I'm going to say that is my job title. Like, whenever somebody asks me, like, for paperwork or whatever, like, what's your job title? I usually say podcast producer, because it's the most official sounding way to refer to the bullshit that I do. But I could also just say, I'm a boy performer. I'm a boy performer.
There were pictures on the website, and I knew that this was going to be a professional operation just based on the photos. But, I mean, it was exactly 30 minutes. I was given an overview of the services that would be provided, and there was a suggestion that this boy performer would basically take over the party for us, and all the parents could stand around and just enjoy the fact that their child was being entertained.
That is more or less how it panned out.
By a person in costume who was very committed.
So committed.
Yeah.
Like, could have been, I would say, Toby's stunt double.
Have I said Spider-Man? I don't know. For some reason, I decided to...
You did just keep saying boy performer.
I know. I kind of wanted to leave it open.
That's fun. Yeah.
But yes, correct. It was Spider-Man.
Yeah. He did a great job.
He did a great job.
Should I talk about the video? At one point, he was playing Spidey Says with the kids, and I was like filming it because it was super cute. And then he like bent down to like tell everybody to touch their toes. Not his toes, touch their toes. And his suit was pretty tight. And so his butt was out. And so I like panned down when he bent over to touch his toes, because like I was just following the action. And then I realized I was like right up on his hiner.
Like frantically.
Like, and then I frantically panned back up like instinctively. It's a pretty funny, I would never post it online because it is, I felt a little, a bit accidentally revealing, but my puritanical.
Yeah, you like course corrected in a way that was so just like reflexive that it was very entertaining.
Yeah, like I don't want to, this dude came here and is doing an incredible job to entertain our children. I don't want a creep shot Spider-Man. So yes, that was, that. We got a hearty laugh out of my own sort of hang-ups there. Yeah, that was a fun one.
Okay, what's your small
wonder? I really should have, I was so excited to think about and talk about boy performer Spider-Man that I didn't.
I thought you might draw on just our experience from the past few days. We did a lot of exciting holiday celebration
and
birthday.
Yeah, you know, putting up the tree to the Vince Guaraldi trio, like you cannot really beat that.
Yeah.
We had a nice Thanksgiving meal. It was a very exhausting weekend. Got Henry his first vax shot, which was thrilling and came out of nowhere. Just like there at the annual checkup, and the doctor was like, we got the vax. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, we didn't have to go to a CVS. We could do it in a professional establishment with people that were familiar with our child.
Yep, Henry was a big boy about it. It was a.
Can you demo your soothing voice that you use to calm our son before anything challenging?
Yeah, you know, it was like, now listen, buddy, remember, it only hurts for a second. And last time that you got your shots, it only hurt for just a few seconds, and then they put the Band-Aid on and it's all better. Then after he got the shot, he was still upset, and so we held hands, and I was like, you're gonna count to 10 and take a big deep breath in between each number. By the time that kid got to 10, it was,
man,
I know, man,
I gotta tell you, like, using that voice, I would do almost anything for you, so just keep that in mind.
Yowza. In the context of me using it to soothe our panicked child, that's not
just the same. If, and I'm not getting raunchy here as much as our advertisers would like. I'm just saying that if you were like, Rachel, would you take out the trash and maybe finish up the dishes? I'd be like, yes, I will, Griffin.
You're making me sound like the Kwisatz Haderach. Like, I'm so glad that you can get those references now these days. That makes me excited.
Barely
get them. It was a good weekend for me, feeling really good about myself as a dad.
Yeah, we got a big boy in the house and he's turning out great. And I think that's in large part to you.
Well, and to you, honey.
I like to think that I do the first couple years, like I really get in there couple years. And then I kind of step back and you're going to take over for the rest
of his life? Yeah. I mean, I know how rough those first couple years are on you. I think that is actually a pretty
fair
trait.
Recovery from those first couple years, and I'm having to do them again. So I'm happy to let you parent for the next, I don't know, 50?
Like 8 or 9, 50 years. Okay, fine. I go first this week.
Okay.
I am going to talk about owls. I am going to get deep and talk about owls. Think about it, though. Your brain immediately went, owls? And then you thought about owls for a second, and then you're like, actually, yeah.
Can I ask, like, what inspired your segment?
What inspired my segment?
Whenever you bring a segment, I try and, like, go back through our week and figure out where this segment originated.
I was thinking about things that got me excited, just sort of knowing that they are around, like sounds that make me excited for the thing. And then I thought about, like, our house backs up to some wilderness, a small patch of wilderness. And, you know, we will be sitting with our two baby monitors just on lookout or sound out for a baby sound or a 5-year-old sound, knowing that, like, well, we have to go, you know, turn off Only Murders in the Building and go hang out with our child who's supposed to be sleeping right now. But then sometimes you'll hear "Whoo!" outside and it's like, stop everything. I have to know if there are owls around.
Griffin gets really frustrated with me because his hearing is remarkably better than mine. He'll be like, oh, did you hear that? And I'm like, well, hear what? That outside. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It was an owl.
One time in the morning, Henry and I got ready and went outside to go to take him to daycare. And there was a little owl just, like, sitting on our front porch, like, looking at our garage door.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see him until we got close. And he, like, fluttered up his wings and, like, bonked into a wall and then flew away. And it scared the shit out of me and Henry a little bit. But then when I realized, like, wait a minute, that was an owl. We talked about it for weeks. Every time we went outside to, like, go to daycare, he would be like, I hope we see an owl today. I just love owls because they are top tier, coolest predator animal. Like, in terms of, like, predatory evolutions, these guys are killing machines, but also are so cute. Like, when I see one, I'm like, oh, look at the cutie.
They are very cute.
They're so cute. They're just, like, hunched shoulders, little round faces with their big,
yeah, they got the biggest eyes and the tiniest little
tiny little mouths, and they're just so squat, and they hop around, but then they will fucking kill you silently, like a ghost. And that's awesome.
And pass your whole body through their system.
Yeah, well, no. About half your body goes through their system. The rest of it comes out as a little now you're a barf fossil, idiot. It's like, whoa, insult to injury, but so cute, too. I just love an owl, man. I love an owl man. You know, have you seen Owl Man before?
Yeah, he's at the Blues games.
He's at the Blues games. I love his stuff.
Every time they score.
Every time they score, he launches up a bolus. It's awesome. Okay, so owls. I feel like everybody knows some cool shit about owls, but if you take
They can rotate their head really far, right?
Yep, and they barf up the fossils. That's all good. When you take everything, though, in one big package, owls are kind of, it's unbelievable that owls are real and that they have evolved in the way that they have. They are solitary in nature. They don't really fuck around in groups, but when they do, you know what you call a group of owls?
No.
A parliament of owls. That's a good one. That's a good one. They are nocturnal, and they eat small animals and other birds sometimes, and insects and lizards and whatever. So they're not too picky. They'll gobble you up no matter what. They are divided into two families. I don't think I ever realized this. There are true owls, which are sort of the quintessential owl. They got the big eyes, the beaks. The eyes are like sort of cat eyes, like predator eyes. And they've just got feathers all over their faces. You know, a typical owl. But then barn owls are the ones with those like white masks. Like the big circle of usually like pale feathers.
And those aren't true owls?
Those are barn owls. And they have like the black, cold eyes like a doll's eyes. Not the.
Doesn't
like,
it seem like a little elitist? They're like, these are the true owls and those are the barn
owls. A little
bit. It's a little city mouse, country mouse.
Yes, it is two sort of taxonomy like mm-hmm. level families of owls.
Okay.
Not in the.
It's not like red state, blue state.
No, and not in like the Fast and the Furious context of families. It's like in the scientific, boring level of families. So owls, they have binocular vision, right? Which lets them see very, very, very far and very, very well from far away, which is why, like, unlike most nocturnal animals.
Oh, that's great.
Unlike most nocturnals, they don't use echolocation in the dark. They just, their eyes are just really, really good. Here's the thing, though. They're farsighted, which means like when something's up close to them, they cannot see them very well. So you know what they do? They use their phyloplumes, which are very, very like small hair-like feathers on their claws and on their beaks that they use as like feelers.
Oh, so when you and Henry walked up on that owl, it maybe couldn't tell what you were.
Yes. I mean, it didn't touch us and use its phyloplumes. But that's rad. That's like, I can see you from very, very far away. And when you get up close, I'm like, you know, on some like snake shit. Like
yeah,
I just touch
you
and I know what's up and I know where you are. They can rotate their necks very, very far. Mm-hmm. Do you want to guess how far out of like 360 degrees?
Oh my gosh. I know it's like 325 or something.
270 degrees. Okay. Which is kind of buck wild. Like, I don't know why you would need to be able to rotate your head more than 180 degrees, right? Because you can go 180 in one direction and then 180 the other direction, and that's 360 degrees. 270 is like, yeah, I can see all the way behind me and then some. I can turn my head right and see to the left of me. That's a lot that you can do that. That's so much. The reason they're able to do that, they have twice as many neck vertebrae as we do, and they're a little bit more spaced out so that you can turn them. But also, like, that's not it, right? If it was just that, sure, you could turn your head in that direction, but you would also cut off circulation to your brain and die pretty fast. But the, like, passageways that their arteries and all their blood stuff runs through are, like, so wide. They are cavernous. They are 10 times wider than the, like, arteries that are passing through them. So they can do that stuff without cutting off circulation to their brain and dying. So like they are evolutionarily like, wow, that was a word, completely built for that shit. It's like they were like generation through generation, like we gotta turn our heads further.
This is very interesting, but all I've been thinking about is whether or not owls get stiff necks and or if you know, sometimes they're like a little sore and so they can only see like 230 degrees and they're like, oh gosh, I really slept wrong.
Yeah. Or maybe when they sleep wrong, they accidentally go too far and they're like, oh shit, did you hear about Carl? No, what happened? He 360'd. Oh no, Carl. Uh-oh. So as if they were not like terrifying predators enough, their feathers are specially built too. They are like much bigger than usual feathers. They are super velvety and serrated. And I don't know why all of that when put together makes this true, but it makes them completely silent in the air. Like other birds, you can kind of hear them coming, but owls are, because of the way their feathers are shaped, and it allows them to fly and sort of dive slower than other birds and be completely silent, which is awesome for two reasons. One, the prey cannot hear them. But two, owls, the sound of their own flight doesn't sort of like flood their senses. They can hear their prey too over the sound of their own flying.
Huh.
So it's like a 2-for-1 death combo.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you can't hear me, but I can hear you completely because their hearing is so like powerful.
Gosh. And you can't even see those little ears.
You can't even see those cute little ears. Their beak is very sharp. They have one sort of hook shaped part of their beak on top, and the other one underneath is also kind of hook shaped, so that when they clamp together, it does like a scissor type motion that kills their prey instantly, which is genuinely a favor they're doing their prey, because then they swallow them whole.
Yes. See, this is what I know about owls, right? Like
they're conscientious. They do terrible things to their prey, but they're conscientious about
it. Like you can get the whole little skeleton sometimes in those little leavings.
And they're right, but it's not their poop. Right? They snip you, so you're dead. They swallow you. They digest what they can, and the rest they barf up in a little conveniently shaped pellet. And those pellets are so plentiful. Like, they are so easy to find pellets. And that is why they are so, like, typically, like, sold to schools for dissections and stuff, so that you can, like, get an idea of what the owl tried to eat, which is just radical. Which is they are these, like, genuine predator from predator. Predators, where they can see you perfectly. You can't hear them as they dive down on you. They gobble you up in a second and barf up what they don't need. They are eating machines, the owls are.
Yeah.
And I love all of that stuff when put together, because they're also squat little goofballs that look so curious and so, like, you know, sort of up to no good all the time. Like, what are you thinking about, little owl? You're thinking about if you could swallow me. You're thinking about if you could kill me in one bite and swallow me, and if I would, if I could hear you coming or not.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is. They're like, they have a lot of similarities with snakes, but they're like so much cuter.
They're air sharks is what they are. Oh, and the way that sharks are like evolutionarily sort of like designed to kill shit in the water and eat it so that they can keep on killing and eating shit in the water.
Yeah.
Owls are just the same way, except sharks... and this may be a contentious sort of opinion.
Uh-huh.
Not the cutest ocean animal.
Yeah.
But an owl?
Adorable.
Adorable. And they'll live in the barn with you.
And they have the little graduation cap, and that's how you know they're wise.
They have the little graduation cap?
You know how the whole wise old owl thing? And they're like,
Sure.
I don't know. For some reason, the graduation cap just came to mind. That was like a indication that it was learned.
Yeah. In the Tootsie Roll Pop commercials, was the owl the one that ate the or was it the one? Because I know it hit 1, 2, 3, and then it would eat it in one bite. Yeah, that's just like, that's factual.
Yeah.
That's how they really do it. That's how they would eat a Tootsie Roll Pop. Just something to think about, you know,
when
you're super high later. Hey, can I steal you away?
Please. Thanks. Hey, Griffin.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the boop bop beams?
That was a little abstract. You did a good job.
Should it rhyme? Should it rhyme? Is that part of your criteria?
It doesn't have to rhyme with itself, but like, you know, jumbo dogs, you know, plumbo blobs. You want to hit that hard ah.
Ah, sound, okay. Yeah. So the boop bop bombs?
Yeah, that's better. We're definitely moving in the right direction. Yeah, sure. Do you want to read the first one this time?
As long
as we're switching shit up.
This message is for Liv. It is from Avery. To my beepus, I love you so enormously. You bring so much joy and light into the world, and we are all so lucky to have you. I can't wait to keep listening to all the macros with you, whether we're driving across the country or coloring at home. You are kind, beautiful, strong, and amazing. Happy Jumbotron Day. I love you. Big love, your Boppus.
Now, that's a confusing one, because I don't know if it's Boppus or Bopus. Which one do you prefer?
I don't know. I think beep bop a lot. You know, like when I'm thinking about a robot noise, I think beep bop. And so I'm thinking Beepus and Boppus.
Beepus and Boppus. Yeah, I guess it's, and that's what's is so special about love.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, here's, oh my God, Rachel, we were both wrong, because this message is for Avery Beepus, and it's from Liv.
Oh, Boopus.
Beepus, Avery. I love you. You fill my life and my heart with love and joy. You are a gift. I love listening to podcasts with you while we color, and I am so excited to keep doing that for many years. In adoration and admiration, Boopus.
I love when Max Fun does this because they both wrote any time frame.
Yeah.
So these didn't have to be in the same episode.
They didn't have to.
But here they are.
Here they are. If this had been in the episode after and they were split up, we definitely would have forgotten.
Completely.
Completely. But here they are. Beepus and Bopus Boopus. Beepus Beepus plus Bopus Boopus Bopus. In love forever.
Congratulations.
Hello,
I'm Pee Wee Herman. You might know me from TV, but I really want to be a DJ. It took some convincing, but KCRW finally agreed to give me an hour on the radio to play you some music with my friends. Anyway, tune in for 1 hour of the bestest, most funnest time you'll ever have on the Pee Wee Herman Radio Hour. I am personally inviting you to tune your transistor radio in to hear me, or go to kcrw.com. Duh. It'll be available for the whole week from November 26th to December 3rd. So you can listen to it again and again and again and again and again.
The Pee Wee Herman Radio Hour was produced by Maximum Fun and can be streamed on kcrw.com until December 3rd.
Do you want to talk about what happened to your computer? And see, maybe there's some like IT folks in our audience that could have had this exact situation happen before and can like offer you some advice of like, oh, when this happened to me, here's what I did to fix it.
So... it's a little embarrassing. I will assume that I'm not the only one that has ever done this.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, So the other day, our son was at daycare and I was pumping the milk out of my body to make bottles for him.
Yeah.
And our five-year-old was in the bathroom calling for me, and in kind of a frantic moment,
you're probably wondering, where was Griffin? I was in the other bathroom.
Yeah.
Doing my own bathroom stuff.
Yeah. And some breast milk was dumped into my computer.
Unceremoniously, not...
And so now some of the keys work and some of them don't. Yeah. Some of the keys do different things than they used to.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
So, for example, when I press the volume down feature, all of my windows...
Oh, okay.
Go away.
Cool. So and all the function keys kind of did a switcheroo.
And the letter V won't work.
Yeah.
And the letter C now won't work. So that's where I am.
Okay. Well, you don't have to. You just can't copy paste. Like, that's the only thing.
I know. I'm having to go up to the menu up top like some kind of Philistine.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my thing?
Sure, you Ann.
That's nice.
Thanks.
That's nice. It is the MacArthur Fellows Program.
Oh.
Also okay. Known as the MacArthur Genius Grant.
Yeah.
Although it has never been called that.
It's never been called the MacArthur. Well, not by them, I imagine.
No. I mean, yeah. So it was kind of developed in discussion. Like, you don't have to be a genius. Apparently, the media coined that nickname in 1981 when the first class of fellows was announced, and it just kind of... stuck. It's narrow because like the genius thing is kind of narrow because like a lot of different people can get it. The whole point is to kind of advance creativity. So you don't like have to have some kind of score on some kind of, you know,
genius test.
Yeah. You don't have to be like a Mensa member to get it. It is intended to, quote, encourage people of outstanding talent to pursue their own creative, intellectual, and professional inclinations. So recipients can be writers, scientists, artists, humanists, teachers, entrepreneurs,
musicians, drawers. People who draw.
Yeah, there was a cartoonist that won recently.
Yeah, it was fucking Scott Adams from Dilbert. People were like, oh man, wait a minute.
He could have just a normal tie that just sat against his shirt in a normal way.
Yeah.
It takes a real genius to turn it up.
Huge genius brain. And it wasn't only until recently when people were like, wait a minute, this is commentary on like today's business. I didn't really think about it. I thought it was just a funny comic, but like, this guy's saying a lot of stuff about business today. I didn't even put that together.
Can I tell you more about this program?
Sure. I'll say real quick about Scott Adams, though. I don't know this dude, but based on the things he says about business, I'm guessing he is like dyed in the wool, pro-union, like anti-work, like super liberal, you know, humanist, like watching out for your fellow man. And if anybody deserves this, granted, it should be him. Am I right about that or am I right?
This is maybe the second or third episode where you've chosen to go on a Dilbert rant.
Just vociferously like endorsed the super, super woke Scott Adams and the great work he does. Keep it up, pal.
So this prize is awarded annually between 20 and 30 people. Does not accept applications.
Whoa.
So anonymous and confidential nominations are invited by the foundation and reviewed by an anonymous and confidential selection committee.
Okay.
So people aren't submitting applications to this thing. Like you just find out. Usually you find out when you have received it. Like you do not know that you are under consideration.
So where did the many applications I've sent for this thing come?
I don't know.
Is it like letters to Santa?
You're applying to the MacArthur Fellow Program, which is a McDonald's program where you just get a lot of hamburgers.
Well, see, I haven't gotten that either. So I know. I'll go to the McDonald's today and ask some
questions. You have to be a genius for that one.
Yeah. Duh.
Okay. The prize is $625,000 paid over 5 years, which was increased from $500,000 in 2013. You know.
Awesome. The MacArthur Genius Grant is adjusted for inflation, but not the minimum wage. Excellent. Good, good, good.
So the three criteria are exceptional creativity, promise for important future advances based on a track record of significant accomplishments, and potential for the fellowship to facilitate subsequent creative work.
Oh, okay.
So the idea is like this money is supposed to help you.
Right.
Make bigger, better things. Although there is kind of like a rumored MacArthur curse. Because the idea is that you get all this money for, you know, like your significant accomplishments, and then you're just so like bogged down by the fact that you won it and yeah. There's this expectation you're going to create more. There was this interview in the Los Angeles Times with this choreographer that won it, and he talked about how the prize helped him erase his student loans and help provide his dancers with healthcare. But then, you know, he got it in 2013 and he was just paralyzed by it, of just this idea of like, I have to work super hard. I have to make the best stuff I've ever made. Like, I have to earn this. Why did I get it? Like, I have to demonstrate that I was worthy of it.
Yeah,
like,
that's wild.
It can be a total like impediment to actually creating, which is the reason you got it in the first place, because you're thinking like, how do I demonstrate that this was the right call?
Do people ever refuse it? I wonder, because that's a genuine concern of like, well, hold up, because I don't really work well with the kind of expectation that I have to retroactively earn this thing that I didn't apply
to. I mean, so here's the thing. There are no strings attached. You don't have to report any kind of products or outcomes. There's no evaluation of the recipient's creativity during the term of the fellowship.
Huh.
Like, it's not like you can lose it halfway through, you know? So, like, I can't imagine turning it down, because they're not going to be like, and what did you do?
Yeah.
And a lot of really important people have won it. I don't know. It's exciting just to see the range, too. Like, I've mentioned a lot of poets that have won it in the past, graphic novelists, puppeteers, neuroscientists, mathematicians, jazz composers. A friend of the show, Lin-Manuel Miranda, has won it. And it, you know, allows them to... Oh, Jad Abumrad won it, too.
Okay. Jad Abumrad.
There you go. And yeah, it's been around since the 80s and has really changed the lives of a lot of the recipients.
Sure.
And just a quick shout out to John Donald MacArthur and his wife, Catherine T. MacArthur. Neither of them came from particularly, you know, magnificent or, you know, auspicious backgrounds. John was one of seven children and was born in a coal-producing area of eastern Pennsylvania, and just made some really great investments early in his life, bought a life insurance company, and then made some real estate investments. And then, you know, when he passed away, he had like $1 billion basically built up, and was convinced prior to his death to start this foundation. and then kind of left it up to the board. Like, all right, you guys, I'm not going to make the call on this. You all can figure out how to best invest this money.
That's fascinating, because I thought all you could do once you had $1 billion was use it to make more billions of dollars,
yeah.
or go into or try and go into outer space.
And then his wife was one of 9 children born to Irish immigrants, and she ended up keeping the books throughout the career. And then did the records for a variety of companies anonymously under her maiden name, C.T. Hyland, in the position of corporate secretary, director, or both. And then he passed away in 1978, and she passed away in 1981. And since then...
It's like The Notebook. Sorry, it's not funny to laugh at people who died. I'm just imagining that ending scene taking 3 years.
I don't know. I'm always excited when there is an opportunity for creative people to receive recognition
sure.
just for being creative without having to, you know, produce some kind of
jump
ROI.
Groups, yeah.
yeah, like, well, show me how many cartoons you drew after this.
I am betting that more than most people on the earth, though, that is of interest to you because it is antithetical to what your job is, right? Like, your whole job is securing grants that must be reported, you know, that there was some
yeah.
level of success for the funds based on the sort of intention that you implied with them for. So,
well, and it's really prohibitive. You know, typical grants are really prohibitive to kind of grassroots efforts because, you know, in order to make a good case for yourself, you have to have a certain amount of resources to do it.
Yeah. You have to prove that you can do the shit. With
exactly.
The money
like before I give you your money, you have to show me that you can manage this amount of money. And it's a very kind of like suspicious approach to giving out awards. Whereas this one is like, hey, you wrote a really great book
yeah.
and you've given some really great talks and I'm confident that you're going to do great things and here's some money and good luck.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, thanks to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. There's so many fucking shows on there, gang. There's like 1,000 billion shows on there, gang.
Uh-huh.
There's a delightful little show called Just the Zoo of Us, where they debate animals and how great they are and what different animals. It's basically what my segment on this episode of Wonderful
yeah,
was.
Yeah, right?
But way, way, way smarter. so go check that one out. Why don't you? Why don't you do that? We have a bunch of merch at macroymerch.com that I wish you would go check out. And you know what? We also got our Candle Nights show
oh,
that is coming
yeah.
up very soon.
Griffin and I made a little video for it that we really enjoyed making, and I think you will enjoy too.
The show is a pre-taped virtual spectacular for Candle Nights. It's on December 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Tickets are on sale now for $5 with an option to give more, and all proceeds from those tickets go to benefit Harmony House, which is an organization we love in Huntington that helps to support people experiencing homelessness. You can get those tickets at bit.ly/CandleNights2021, and the video on demand will be available through January 2nd. We got segments from all the shows
It is always like if you are not feeling festive, I recommend a dose of Candle Nights
yeah.
because it always warms my heart.
And we have beloved guests who sent in stuff
yeah.
as well. Like B. Dave Walters, Hank Green, Gene Gray, Pollen Storm, Adam Brody, which is wild and wonderful to me. So yeah, go check that out. Again, bit.ly/CandleNights2021. We're going to be debuting it live at December 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's it.
Thank you so much for listening and being here with us and believing in us. That's the biggest thing.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people, when we start, were like, a show about things you like and things you're into? By lovers? Made by lovers? Get out of here with that.
You know, we did that whole episode on what the folks at home are interested in.
Yeah.
And I think at that time we indicated we would continue to do it. And here
then
we are.
Then we did fucking forget.
Well,
we only forget stuff like that when our back up against the wall in terms of like how much time we have to record, which, dang, wouldn't you know it, is true virtually every time that we record. But we'll try and be better about it.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Goodbye. Go with God. And also with you. Find peace today, and treat the other people on Earth pretty good.
Uh-huh.
those were some of my favorite Bible verses.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.